Står det dag, at høre ikke, og blive hudder stille.
ברוך שחיינו וקיימנו והגיענו לזמן הזה to be back together again for the show and we'll start the day. I'd like to give a very, very warm thank you to Shem, all the members to Besuch HaShadmi and to Nachmanovi, to all the rings of the amount of energy, time, dedication. I really managed to experience a bit of it. We can come out many times to come to my house more times in the past few months than the past few years. But the Rebbe said to have a world tremendous akos hatoy. I just want to mention the Gabi Nisli Kudah that Rashi tells us in last week's parasha that when Moshe Rabbeinu was being nifta, Hashem said to Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, need a new leader. So what did Hashem say to Moshe Rabbeinu? Instead of worrying about Klal Yisrael, tell them to make sure to serve me properly. So which mitzvah did Hashem tell them? The mitzvah of Korban Tomit, Rashi last week's parasha. Atat mitzvahs, olai, atat mitzvahin al bonai, tetzvahs, bonai olai, command my children about me. That's on a few different svarim. If Hashem is telling Klal Yisrael they have to serve him, why use the Korban Tomit? And the answer is because the Korban Tomit is a Korban which is a mitzvah which is done every day. It is a constant mitzvah. A mitzvah which is done every day with a steadfastness is very, very precious in the eyes of Hashem. So those like Simcha and others who worked hard to keep it going and to make sure that there should be no interruption, they are zeicha. Everyone who comes to the shiur, every person who keeps going, a person every time you take on something, if you do this every so often, it doesn't have the chashivus of the Korban Tomid, that every single day the Korban Tomid was brought. And that's why when Hashem told Kaisel, there's a certain mitzvah I want you to keep, that's the mitzvah which he told them, the Korban Tomid, because it's a mitzvah which is an obligation every single day. And to start it off, we have to say a special thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lovin Zeicha, to come back together. Chazal instituted a bracha, which for some reasons, for a variety of reasons, we don't keep today. And that if you don't see a friend of yours for 30 days, when you meet him, you say, Shechiyon, the mitzvah is brought down the Shavuot. So for example, just like you get excited when you get a new suit, or a new car, or a new fruit, you say Shechiyon on any of these things. By a car, so you say that too about meeting. Just like a person gets a tremendous joy from a new item, you get a tremendous joy when you meet a friend who you haven't seen for 30 days. So therefore, Chazal told us to make a bracha Shechiyon. We don't do this bracha for a variety of reasons, but the fact that Chazal told us to make such a bracha teaches us how important Chazal said, how important they saw the idea of a person getting together and having an opportunity to meet up with each other. And then let's talk about a few months where people haven't had the ability to meet up together so much. And when we say Shechiyonu today, not only saying Shechiyonu for being able to come back into the Beis HaMedrash, we're saying Shechiyonu for the fact that we're being able to meet up again together. And I'm sure there'll be many drashas that will be about the fact that we also take something away when we don't appreciate it. And therefore we hear the fact that Shulchan took away the ability that we should all be able to actually see each other properly is a certain sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're not appreciating it well enough. A person has to understand it's a special schus. If Chazal can make a bracha for such a thing, obviously Chazal felt that this is something that a person should choose to be very, very, very precious. But a sefer called the Mechitzas of Gadol, very interesting sefer by a big Mashkiach Ger, Mashkiach, who went for the Second World War, super famous in England. And he describes that interesting story. He said that what happened was he's down in a shul, and after that, everyone would leave. So he said, then why do you leave? I've got rota, we've got business, nobody's got time. So I'm making a kol for 20 minutes after Shachris, I'm going to pay anybody who learns for 20 minutes mishnayos. So everybody stays for 20 minutes. He says, now you have the money, now you have the time. I'm carrying on the kol. But not that you should be mishnayos, but you should spend 20 minutes after davening greeting each other, talking to each other, and spending time. Interesting thing for a mashgiach to do. But this, Chazal took, Hashem took it away from us. And we have to appreciate, even if we're not going to make a shechiyon v'shem u'malchus, when we meet a friend that we haven't seen, the Chazal wanted us to understand it's a very precious thing. Another aspect of the shechiyon is the fact that now Now we have the opportunity to come back into Shul. And I've heard already from many different rabbonim, are going to try and institute ideas of not talking in Shul, not bringing phones into Shul. And obviously, every takana is a tremendous value. There's one nekuda which I feel is very valuable, and that is that as much as it's important to make takanas, what's even more important is that a person has to feel that shul is a place which a person wants to be inside. A person has to look at davening as a place which is geschmack to be, a place which is happy to be. It's a schus to be in shul. And the only way a person can feel that is by a person recognizing that only through davening is a person ever able to zeicher to success. Without davening, a person can't have success. The more nidr. Daf Ayin of Beis says, "Ma'yase Adam ve'yechem." How should a person become a Talmid Chacham? What should you do to become a Talmid Chacham? The more answers, "Yarbe ve'yeshiva." You should spend a long time learning in yeshiva. The more continues, "Harbe also came lo yigo." And many people went to yeshiva. Remember, so someone once read out this Gemara. It took 20 minutes to read almost 6 lines of Gemara. The Gemara says that many people went to yeshiva and did not become Talmid Chacham. It says they must have sent out messengers around the country looking to see. Were the people, and he saw there were people who actually spent years in the Beis Medrash and never came to the Chacham. Says, well, so what should you do? So you should daven. The Gemara says, daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara carries on. How should you become wealthy? So the Gemara says, what should you do? You should be careful to deal in business honestly. Yashu speaking momentous. So the Gemara carries on. How the Oskim Leidu? That means again, they sent out messengers to find there were many people that went to do business, spent years never cheating in one iota. Then they knew for a fact that was the case, and then we did not become wealthy. So what should you do? You should daven, says the Gemara. And then the Gemara says, how can you be zeicher to have good children? And again, the Gemara says you should marry a woman who's got Yiras Shemayim, and you should be careful to treat her right. And again, the Gemara says, how they also came lo yoyilu, that many people did all of this and it never worked out. So the Gemara says, what should you do? You have to daven. That means the Gemara is telling us the three things which every person wants is to be zeicher to Torah, to zeicher to wealth, to be zeicher to have good children. Everybody davens have good panosim. Chazal tell us that you can try everything, but in kircham elo b'peh, the kirch of Klal Yisrael is only through the ability to daven. And when a person sees that, then the person comes to shul with the realization this is the place of success. They say because whoever once saw somebody rushing out of shul, said, where are you rushing? He said, rushing to make panosim. So how do you know you're rushing to Parnassa? You're actually rushing away from Parnassa. It's a nice line, but it's the emes. A person who sees that davening wants to have Saturday Shema and anything, and the only way is in Shul, when he comes to davening, he sees davening as a place that he wants to be. And how important these takanas are. If a person doesn't have that feeling, it's going to be extremely difficult for these takanas to last. There's very interesting chizkuni. The Chizkuni says that it says about Yaakov Binu that he had 12 sons, the Padan Aram. He had 12 sons in Padan Aram. Asks the Chizkuni, did Yaakov have 12 sons in the Padan Aram? He never did. Binyamin wasn't born in Padan Aram. Binyamin was born in Eretz Yisrael. Padan Aram is an Aram. So he answers, because in Padan Aram, Rochel Davin, Yusuf Hashim Ni Ben Acham. In Padan Aram, they davened for Binyamin. So since they davened for him and everything comes about through Tefillah, it's as if he was born there. It's like you say, where is money made? I don't know, Wall Street, I don't know where it is. The Pshat, because that's where the money made all those businesses around the world. This is the place of the investment. A person has to recognize that the shul is the place where all money is made. All Torah is acquired. All good children are machunach. Not through the... Obviously, a person has to do the shtarvus. A person has to take a shtarvus, maybe to a therapist if it's necessary. But that's not where the success will be. Where is the place that Torah is acquired? Where is the place that Ashiwas, the person zich to Ashiwas, is in the shul? When the person realizes that, the person appreciates this is the place where everything, all success, any kind of form of success exists only in shul, then the person will have ability that of course he'll understand, coming to shul late, bringing his phone and talking, all of these is a loss for him. He'll be rushing to shul from the realization of how precious shul is. If a person just forces himself, I won't do this, I won't do that, without an appreciation of what a schus tefillah is, the takanas will not have the ability to withstand. Just say a short story. I got a lot of chizuk from is that there's a book all for the boss. What happens is something called Ruchama Shem, and the father went to move to Eretz Yisrael even before 1940, even before Eretz Yisrael was set up, and the state was set up. And he went to live there, and his wife was Nifta, and they were desperate to visit the father. He was all by himself in Alma, without a wife. And the children decided to phone him. In those days, making a phone call was a huge undertaking. They had to send him a telegram which day to go to the post office. They had to make an appointment in their post office in America. And the phone call in their day currency costed $50, which they shared out between five children. $50 in their day currency is thousands of dollars of today. And what happened was, each one had their slot to speak to the father. Finally, it was her turn to speak to her father. And she said, hello. She hadn't spoken to him in years. Many, many years she hadn't spoken to him. She hadn't spoken to him since her mother had been lifted. And the first thing he said to her is, so how much is this phone call costing? So she said, daddy, who cares? I finally get a chance to speak to you, not going to start talking about money. No, I want to know how much it's costing. I think she said $7 a minute. So he said to her, think about it. To speak to your father costs a few continents. A father who cannot help you one iota. And a father who can't do much for you. So he, one day here, one day gone within the cable. And for that, you're willing to spend so much money to speak for 1 minute. To HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they have the opportunity three times a day. Across millions of Olam HaSalonim. And he looks after you better than I can ever look after you. And he loves you more than I can ever love you. How much should you be willing to pay per minute? And even if you get it for free, but at least chaperayim, don't lose the opportunity. Nice moshul. After me, that's the schus. But if you have chasdach over yourself, you should be zeichet hake to feel that. I'd like to speak a little bit about the Bein HaMetzor. When the time now, between Shavuos and Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. And one of the most painful things is that for many people it's a time where they feel they have to just hold their breath, let it pass, and when it's gone, it's a big sense of relief. It's a stressful time, it's a lot of issur and a lot of things not allowed to some people. Find it hard. And it's a very, very big pity, because the emes, it's a very, very special time. It's a time when a person can be zeichet to ruchnis in a way which in other opportunities he can't. Kol yitfeo hi sigua bein ha-metzorim. Chiddush HaOlim says, kol yitfeo, roidef yudkei. Anybody who chases after Hashem, hi sigua bein ha-metzorim. This is the time you can be zeichet to catch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be zeichet to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Magdi Mezuz used to say this moshul every year. It's a very hard moshul to understand, but this I used to say it. He used to say, when you want to speak to a king, how much effort do you have to do to get to speak to the king? You have to go through security and make an appointment. And kulei olehai, who knows if you get an opportunity to speak to a king? It's very, very difficult. You're trying to get an appointment now with the queen in Buckingham Palace. I don't know how easy it is to get to speak to her, and she can't even do anything. Can you imagine what it would be like to a king who's got power? It's very difficult. Imagine a king is thrown out of his palace and he's roaming around in the countryside, lonely, and nobody's looking after him. Then any person who wants can go look, do what they want to for him and immediately they have an opportunity to spend time with him. It says, now we're in Golus, Shchinta beGolusa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, is in Golus. It's as if he's left his palace, his Midrash has been destroyed. So it's easy for anybody who wants, has the ability to connect up to Shvoch without any effort. All you need to do is say to Shvoch, I want to speak to you, and Shvoch is ready to listen to you straight away. Even the Mashon himself says that if you work it out, there are 21 days from Rosh Hashanah to Rishana Rabbah, and there are 21 days from Shavuos of the Tammuz to Tisha B'Av. There are 21 days that we connect that Shvoch through Ahava, and 21 days we connect through Yiro. The fact that he puts them in parallel, and he says that they're both equal in the sense the ability to get close to Hashem. Nobody would want Chas Hashem, but the person would say, stuck in the hospital from before Hashanah till after Hashanah. The person would feel that he's lost the main part of the year. This is, on some level, one of the most important parts of the year. The person has the opportunity now to get close to the Shvoruch Hu in a way which during the rest of the year is much more difficult. So obviously it's a very high chinonim, but the aleph base of it is, the basic point of it, is we have to understand what was the shoyosh, what was the root of the goals. So the Pasuk, the Chazal already tells in Yuma, Atel b'chitzim b'chir shol chinon, ani ekva lechem b'chir l'tefes. That we cried and right and came for nothing, for a whole night. So the Shvoruch Hu said, I'll give you a reason to cry. And for thousands of years we've been crying for cried a bit. Now the Pasuk in Devarim tells us, why did we cry? Because we said, b'sinas Hashem o'yisonu o'yitziyonu mimitzrayim. That Hashem hated us, and that's why He took us out of Mitzrayim. And as Rashi points out, Hashem didn't hate us at all. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved us a very, very lot. Only through our bad midas and our misconceptions, we came to the mistaken conclusion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates us. It's a very painful thing. Sometimes I have a teenager say to you, that you hate me, that's why you treat me like that. I think people like to parents like that. And it's a very painful thing when somebody's worked so hard and invested so much and tried so hard to look after a child, and the child should turn around and say, after all of that, you must hate me. And that is a simple moshul of what we did to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved us and he cared for us. He did everything possible for us and he loved us so much. And what did we turn around to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you hate us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for that reason, gave us thousands of years to mourn. So the other base is that Midot Tova Merubah, that if a person spends time thinking about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves them, if a person would do the opposite, and instead of saying, Besinas Hashem Yisrael, a person would think about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us so much, and think about how much Ahava there was from Hashem, that He gave us a Beis HaMikdosh, and He gave us Nevuah, He gave us Nisim Beis HaMikdosh. Thinking about the Ahavas Hashem Yisrael, Midot Tova Merubah, we know Midot Tova is 500 times greater. For punishment Hashem only punishes 4 generations, for reward 2,000 generations. If a person was to spend one night, an entire night, rejoicing and thanking Hashem for His love, then he'll be zeichet for thousands, not thousands, 500 times as much, because we've had thousands of years for crying one night. So we'll get 500 times as much, we'll get hundreds of thousands of years of brachas from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the other thing. Realizing what was the mistake. So the mistake was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved us and cared for us so much, and instead of appreciating it, we came to the wrong conclusion that Hashem hates us. If a person was to spend an entire night, entire day, at least a few minutes every day from now to Tishvah thinking, why am I so upset? Why are we so upset in these 3 weeks? What's bothering us? Because we're missing the relationship that we had with that Tishvah. We feel more distant. You only feel upset when you've lost the relationship with somebody that loves you. If you've got a neighbor you've never spoken to in years and they move away, it means nothing to you. If you've got somebody that loves you a very, very lot and they move away from your life, you're tremendously upset. So spending these 3 weeks, we're spending time thinking how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, and to thank Hashem for that love and to appreciate it so much. And by being moedet HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saying, Be'ahavas Hashem Oisonu, Oitzionu Mimitzrayim, Hashem loves us, He took us out of Mitzrayim and He gave us Eretz Yisrael and He gave us all the wonderful things. By doing that, we'll be doing at least the aleph base of going the opposite of what we did then. There are some people, unfortunately, can forget about what it means to live with the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash today. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. But there's a difference between not having a Beis HaMikdash and forgetting about knowing the fact that we had a Beis HaMikdash or living with a Beis HaMikdash. It's like a simple marshal. Imagine somebody that likes to travel. They've never been out of Manchester. So you say their idea of traveling is very, very limited. Somebody who's been around England, since around Europe, around the world. So their idea of the world, their idea of traveling is a much, much greater. Abdel Fattah, somebody who spent his entire life only learning to say this going. And then one day he discovers this moya, this noshim, his whole idea of Torah becomes much bigger. The idea of a Yid, who's got an idea of what it means to be with a Beis HaMikdash, is a whole different understanding what it means to be a Yid. Of course, a person has to picture what it's like to live with a Beis HaMikdash. The idea of Klal Yisrael is much, much bigger. A person's got a very small-minded idea of Klal Yisrael. Yeah, being a Yid, getting up for shul, learning, doing tefillin, that's the idea of a Yid. He's only got a very narrow, it's true, within his parameters, like someone who's never left Manchester. So he knows Manchester quite well. But he hasn't got a very small idea. We would pity him. That he doesn't, if somebody thought travel was important, we would pity him for not really knowing what it means. He's got no idea what exists out there. A person who doesn't think about the Beis HaMikdash, he has no idea what exists out there. He has no idea what it's like. Imagine the Klal Yisrael, Ilul HaRegel, a few times a year, the whole of Klal Yisrael, every kind of person, every personality, going in Achdus with Simcha, all walking to the Beis HaMikdash, everybody safe, nobody got hurt at all. Or a person, imagine every day in the Beis HaMikdash, they were listening, the Nevuah, every Shaila in the Sanhedrin was paskened. A person who lives with a picture of what Klal Yisrael is, or should be, he has a whole much bigger world of Yiddishkeit. And that is the chiluk of Yemes Avol, which a person needs to have in order to mourn. A person cannot mourn something if he doesn't know what is lost. Chaim Freelander says this word, and I have said it once before, it's a murdic word. Chazal, the Pasuk tells us in Ezra that when they built the second Beis HaMikdash, so what happened was, all the people started rejoicing. They had a tremendous amount of simcha. For 70 years they've been in exile, can you imagine? Finally, there was a Beis HaMikdash, and all the young people started singing and dancing and rejoicing. There were all the people that still remembered the first Beis HaMikdash. And because they remembered the first Beis HaMikdash, they started crying. Why did they start crying? Because compared to the first Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash was not quite as special. So they started crying. The same event made some people rejoice and some people started crying. And the difference was what their memory was. So says Chaim Finlander, if a person's memory is of Klal Yisrael, biggest memory he has is of Klal Yisrael, he only thinks back 50, 100 years. So Klal Yisrael was in Russia, in Poland, suffering in the ghettos and all the rest. So now he thinks to himself, Baruch Hashem, he's very, very happy because compared to what we've got, compared to what we had recently, this is very, very good. If a person's memory is much greater than that, if a person remembers what it was like, Klal Yisrael inside of his image, a person pictures it properly, so when he sees our situation at the moment, he has got tremendous reason to cry. It's a beautiful example of the avodah that we have to be doing now. If you go through Eichok, Kimat, every perek and every pasuk mentions this nekudah. Just think about Kimat, Eichok Yosho Bada, Beira Bosiyom, Sorosi Bamedinus. Bosiyom means a tremendous big nation, Sorosi Bamedinus, a prince amongst all other nations. If you want to, if a person wants to mourn the Beis HaMikdash, he has to appreciate how much greatness there used to be. And now that we've lost it, if a person has a relative that's nifta, and the person very close to a child or something, and then what happens is the person over the years can forget about it a bit, gets a bit, the pain gets a bit less. The person takes out pictures, takes out things that remind them of the child, and we picture how wonderful it was when the child or the parent, whoever it may be, was alive, then that reawakens the pain. The avodah that we have to do is to remember what it was like, to a picture, to take out pictures of the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have physical pictures, but a person can create spiritual, mental pictures of the Beis HaMikdash, and that can reawaken the pain. I want to summarize a little bit what we said to go right. I just want to say this. Talk a little bit about the chashimus of tefillah. Went a bit faster, but the point is like this. We have to understand Chayisol in Kricham Elo Bepeh. Our entire avodah, our entire capabilities is only through our mouth. And all success is tolu in how we behave in shul. A person's entire future, everything, even if a person spends years learning, is not guaranteed to be a talmud chacham. A person can spend years in business, not guaranteed. But if a person is makpid in davening, that is his derech to succeed. So we want the fact that Bin Ansoim is a time that a person has to understand it's not a time just to get over. It's a time that a person in chaparayim. On a very ruchnistic level, it means that if a person is able, then the neshama is closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the magnitude. But on a simple level, it's like this, say a mashal is like this. Some people, when they're having lessons in the summer holidays, they appreciate it very lot, they enjoy it, and they talk about it. There are other people that during the holidays, enjoy it a little bit, but they love reminiscing about it, they can think about it, and while they're talking about it, that gives them a tremendous geschmack. They have to. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash now, we can't experience it as it is now. But we're able to reminisce about what happened. Reminiscing about the Beis HaMikdash, that is our avodah. And we have to remember that Chazal, or Kobea, the Ike Avera was that B'sinas Hashem Yisonu. The Ike Avera was that we made the mistake of thinking that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hated us. And the Ike Avera that we have is to remember the Ahavas Hashem Yisonu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. There's a story that is brought down in a few places that what happened was Chaim Vital was once by the Arizal. And the Arizal said to him that your tefillah had more power today than the Tanoim and the Moiroim. So Chaim Vital said, Hitochel, is it possible such a thing? My kavanas are nothing compared to their kavanas. And he said to him, no, because they do not have the siyonis that you had. In the doy like you live in the doy that you are struggling in, so the effort that you required is different, so that your tefillah has more koyach. Now, Chaim Vital lived in Sfas, and he lived amongst a town where there was Arizal, Bis Yosef, the Al-Sheikh, these kinds of people around. Can you imagine what the Arizal would say in the doy of today? We know how difficult it is to be nisover even a tiny, tiny bit for the Chubu Beis HaMikdash. We are unfortunately miles and miles away from where we would like to be. Mishvor tells us that when a person benches, he should take the knives off the table. Why should he take the knives off the table? Because one time a person was benching, he said, Rachim, and he remembered the Lisabigdos, he stabbed himself and killed himself. And it wasn't a dish rock because they didn't want to be eating. But during the year, that means there were people who lived the whole year with tremendous pain. We knew that we were fortunately miles and miles away. But what we have to understand is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards according to the effort. Chaim Vital lived in a town full of Kedusha. We walk in places, you can walk in one road and you can see more features than probably what Chaim Vital saw his entire lifetime. In one day we will see. And what happens is actually we have to be aware that every tiny bit of effort that we make, every small upsetment that we have is worth a very lot. Chazal tells us that Esav HaRoshon, he cried almost 3 tears. 2 tears came out of his eye, and 1 tear was almost coming out of his eye. So because of the 3 tears, what happened was, 1 tear was the first base of Middash, the second tier was the second base of Middash, and had the third tear come out of his eye, he would have been able to destroy the third. So Chaim Zaitchik, the Chazal HaKadosh used to say, we say in the Bnei Echo, Choy Sivke Ba'alaylo, V'dimoso Al-Lechyo. Her tears are on her cheeks. That's why it was shot, the tears on the cheeks. There's different pshatim. One pshat is that they cry so much that a person cries a little bit, you wipe away the tear and you can't notice that they ever cried. A person's cried for a very, very long time, then even after you wipe away the tears, you can still see the signs that there were tears on the cheek. But Dimosa Alechio, that they cried so much there were tears on the cheeks. Another pshat the Medrash tells us is that what happened was the goyim tied their hands behind their backs, and the Eden's hands behind their backs. So they were unable to wipe their own tears. And Kibiyochel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midah Keneged Midah, he also tied his hand behind his back. And that's why it also says that Hashem drew his hand back. Chaim Zaitchik says a different pshat, that Klal Yisrael, when they were able to cry for the Beis HaMikdash, they saw it as a badge of honor. And therefore they did not wipe away the tears. But Dimosa Alechio means they left the tears on the cheeks because they knew that these tears are so precious in the eyes of Hashem. That just like a person who is very successful, he gets a medal, he puts it on his chest, everybody can see. Klal Yisrael's greatest medals are the tears that they're able to produce, and they leave them on the cheeks. They don't want to wipe them off. We should all be zeichetakir, to be able to produce, as we said, it's a tremendous avodah, but even the smallest tear, we should be able to produce something in 3 weeks. And they said, we can't imagine how much schar, how much closest to God's work we get. And once we're zeichet to be able to cry, we should be zeichet to Bocha Hashem called Dimon, not Dimon, 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 Dimon,